for this time that we'll learn of you. I thank you for revelation. If you want revelation this morning, let's agree together right now. Father, I receive revelation from you. Let's say it again. Father, I receive revelation from you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're continuing kind of on the same subject, but we are going to shift to a different promise. Okay? We spent the last 4 weeks, I believe, or it was a 4-week series. We had a couple breaks in the middle as Pastor Dwayne spoke last week, and a couple weeks ago Gus spoke, and so I didn't do all those 4 lessons in a row. But I encourage you to go back. We looked at John chapter 14, and we looked at the promises of God and trying to help us walk in those promises. What does it look like to believe God and walk in those promises? And so this morning, I want us to take a little bit different angle on this, and I want you to help me with this. Do you want to be one who draws back or goes forward? Now, this should be a no-brainer, but Jesus put it this way, or the Father, God, put it this way. I set before you life or death. Choose life. That's what he said. He said, I set before you life or death. And then he kind of went, choose life. Because he got in between you and death. You really have to go out of your way to choose death. But part of choosing death is that we draw back. And we don't want to be of those who draw back. And the way we draw back is because we get a little scared sometimes. We get overwhelmed. We don't have all the answers, or we think we don't have all the answers because we're not hearing them or seeing them, or we're not feeling them. And so we begin to tap the brakes. I get people that are coming and say, Pastor, our lives are, we're so busy. The kids are going this way and we're going that way, and we're busy doing this and we're busy doing that. So we're just gonna have to take a break from some things. So we won't see you on Sunday for a few weeks. I just don't know what to even say to that. I first couple of times I said something, and then the Lord reminded me of a Proverbs that says about rebuking stupid and how you can get a bloody nose. And so I just kind of look at him and twitch and say, okay, I don't understand this. But then when I look at it, it's because we don't really... We don't know some of the things that we don't know, and we don't see how serious and the purpose, the plan. We even heard this last. How many of y'all know that in Jeremiah 29:11 it says, I know the plans, but you realize that word is I know the dreams. I know the thoughts I have for you. God said, I have thoughts for you. The NIV says plans. Plans is actually too small of a word. It's thoughts. God thinks things about us. But we have to learn how to not only know them, but believe them. Now, I'm a little off my notes, but that's not the first time. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to look at verse 38 and 39, leading into... Hebrews 11, very popular, and I'm going to try not to reteach Hebrews 11, but we are going to look at a couple of key passages there. Now, the just shall live by faith. God said, the just shall live by faith. How many are you one of them? Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Christ lives in you. You have been made righteous and truly holy. We live by faith. This is not an option. Let's read on. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. How many of y'all realize that God has a soul? That's what it says. That means God has feelings. Have we ever thought about if God's feelings are hurt? He says, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Do we understand that God loves us so much that he wants us to be successful? He wants us to live right. He wants us healthy. He wants us whole. He wants us prosperous. He wants us moving forward. He doesn't want us broken and sick and lame and just barely getting by and not able to. He doesn't want us not functioning. We're here on an assignment. If you belong to God and you're still on the planet, you're on an assignment. And if you can't fulfill your assignment or you live your life in a way that you leave early, do you realize you're leaving that work for the rest of us? Now, I don't know about you, but where's Gus when I need him? Can I go with you? Okay, do you realize that if Mr. Smithers calls me up and says, hey, I have a project, I need some help, and I go over there to help him, and about a third in, I look up and he's gone? I'm like, wait a minute, this was his idea. Where's he at? Now I got twice the work to do. Because it's already in me. I'm committed now. I'm in it. This is a project. We're building a new barn. And Susan's done convinced us that she needs a new barn. All the supplies are on the ground. This barn's got to get built. And I look up, Mike's gone. He left. Dirty dog left me with all that extra work. I heard that. They know that ain't good. But it was Mike's choice to leave, to draw back. So let's read on. Verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Now that word means destruction. We are not those who draw back to destruction. But we have to choose not to draw back. We have to choose to say, we're not going to give up just because it's tough, just because it's rough, just because things aren't going the way I thought they would go. Or the biggest one, man, Holy Spirit said something right when we started down here, and I'm trying everything within me to digest this, because I don't know if I can put it on the table just yet, but that's still, you know when that still small voice says something and you go, oh, watch out. He said something to me in the opening of our worship service, and it's big. So I'm saying, okay, Lord, when do I put that out here? When do I say that? And it may come, yeah, but let's stay focused on what his word says. We are not of those who draw back to destruction, but of those who believe. Now look at this, who believe in the saving of the soul. Now notice I already said we're born again. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In your spirit, you are righteous and truly holy. You're a new man, a new spirit. No male or female in the spirit. You're a new creation. He didn't take your old self and clean it up and wash it clean. No, he made you new. You are now made new. Your old man is dead. Thank you. That should be our response. Your old man is dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All those old habits, all those old ideas, all the bondage that I lived in for the... okay. I'll use me so y'all don't get upset. I lived in some serious bondage for 17 years. Okay? Now, I was set free of that bondage at age 9, But nobody taught me, so I didn't know. So I continued to listen to the old man, the old programming, and I let the world continue to lead my life from age 9 until 17. And when I got 17, and that lady says, "Who's your Lord?" And I said, "Jesus. I make him my Lord. I don't care what anything else." And let me tell you, I didn't have anything to brag about except for stupid on stupid on stupid. There was plenty of stupid in my life. And so I cried out and said, "Okay, from this day forth, the things of God, and I don't care about nothing else. I don't care if anybody likes me. I don't care if they don't like me. I don't care. I want everything God has for me, and I'm following him from this day forth." And from 17 to this day, no, I haven't done it all right, but I ain't looking back. I gaze back, I go, "Yep, I ain't going to do that one again. That was dumb." But I'm not going back to all the bondage. There's no need to go back to the bondage. The old man is dead. But those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe in the saving of the soul, what is the saving of your soul? Romans 12:2 says that we would be a living sacrifice. That's part one, verse one of Romans 12. Says that he says, be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and righteous. But we've got to renew our mind. We've got to not be conformed to the world. We can't let all this stuff teach us. Now, that said, that the saving of your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. So how do you do that? Well, let's read on. I don't know if there's another verse there, but Hebrews 11:1, I think 39 was in. So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now skip down. There's some really good stuff in the next couple of verses, but I got to keep moving. So I can't do verse by verse here, all right? Because this is just groundwork to get us to the promise that we need to unravel. Look at verse 5 with me. By faith, Enoch. Now see, this is a guy we don't know a lot about. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Now that sounds pretty amazing. Do you realize that I will not see death? You guys may see death for me, but I will not see death. Because one day, just like a hand coming out of a glove, the real me who lives inside of me will leave this earth suit and be in the presence of God. You're the ones that will see my lack. You'll see my body laying on the ground. And in case you're wondering if it's anytime soon, somebody please come over and call me back. Because I ain't done. So if in doubt, I'm telling you now, call me back. Okay? But let's go on. I can't preach everything. Can't get it all in one setting. Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Notice this. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He didn't have a testimony of coming out of alcohol or a sickness or disease. He didn't have a testimony of all those things that most of us talk about when we talk about a testimony. He didn't have any of that. His testimony was he pleased God. This man walked with God so much that as he was walking, God just says, "Well, let's just keep going. We're done. We're done. Let's just keep going. I got some more things to show you. You've been paying so close attention. I'm going to show you more." And he just kept going with him. We don't even know what all happened there, but they said they couldn't find him. And the scripture says that he didn't see death. So But what was it? His testimony was that he pleased God. Now look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, a while ago in verse 38 of Hebrews 10, we read that if we draw back, it doesn't please the Father. Here he says it is impossible to please God without faith. So all of us go, well, I got faith. I know. I have faith. You have faith. And I would not tell you you don't have faith. But let's read on. Let's read on in this. We don't even have to leave the verse. Look at the rest of this. For he who comes to God, any volunteers? He who comes to God. Now, is that a one-time thing? I mean, did you come to God today? Now listen, you didn't get born again, but when you opened up your eyes, you chose life or death. You chose to say, good morning, Lord, or you chose to say, it's Monday. Oh, it's Sunday. You chose. This says, he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, most of us don't have a problem with believing that God is God. I think a lot of us believe that God is God, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You wouldn't be watching us, whatever time it is, whatever you're doing right now, if you didn't believe that God is God. And he is a big God. And he's a good God. And we've done a lot of seed in the ground and a lot of watering that God is good. He's always good. He can't not be good. God is good. And I heard it this week. It kind of arrested me because I hadn't heard it in a while. Do you know that the enemy, through dumb teaching, even takes a scripture and says, well, you know, God said, or the Bible says, God lets it rain on the just and the unjust. God lets it rain on the just and the unjust, and they say that as if rain is bad. Did you hear what they said? Because usually they're murmuring and complaining. Well, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. At what point was rain bad? See, rain's not bad. Rain's good. Just like fire's good. Fire in the fireplace is good. Rain on the earth is good. And we have a promise. He will not flood the earth again. Not the whole earth. We have a promise. So rain is good. How did I get on this? Let's go back to the word. I was on it. Let's keep going. Must believe that God, that he is, now look at this next part, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And here's where I want to help us adjust. Do we really, truly believe that God, our King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wants to reward you? Reward me. Do you believe that God wants you to be successful at everything God has called you to do? Do you believe this? It says you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, and there's where it starts to fall apart. Because sometimes we think we hear from God, so we start doing something. But we didn't get all the instructions. This is what Moses did. Do you realize Moses cost himself and an entire nation extra time? Because he heard, he knew. In Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 11, Moses knew that he was called to be the deliverer. But he went out and tried to do it by himself. He thought, oh, I can do this. I'm the prince. I'm in a perfect position. God has brought me to this time for such a time as this. He read all the wrong scriptures. And he got in his own self. Now, I say that, but look, we've all done this. We get ahead. We don't listen. We don't follow instructions. We don't stay committed and submitted to what God is doing. We don't understand that preparation time is never wasted. He says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not just trying to pour a bunch of stuff and pop it out of the sky and give you a bunch of stuff that you're not going to know what to do with. It ain't about the stuff. It's about the vessel. God wants you well. He wants you healthy. He wants you whole. He wants you to be able to represent him. Tell me, in one area, did Jesus ever misrepresent God? No. You say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. I know. Who's living in us? Jesus. But see, there's the disconnect. There's times we don't believe that. We've listened to other things. We've heard of, well, you know, God might want to do this or God might want to do. No. In John 5:19, you'll have to bring it up. John 5:19, Jesus said, I only say what the Father said to say. Now, I realize we're a long ways from that. But when do we start going there? We don't draw back. We start going there. We diligently seek him. Diligently seeking him means that we're in a relationship with him continually. And that means when the, okay, hallelujah. Look, this promise that God will diligently reward those who, he will reward those who diligently seek him leads us to a place. Look with me at John chapter 10, verse 10. Very familiar passage. We've spent a lot of time here. And we've spent a lot of time teaching this house, primarily, that bad things come from the devil and the earth and the curse. Good things come from God. So if there's something that's not good, do you understand and do you believe that it was not God's idea? The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief. Now let me help you with this, because even in this passage, the thief, the one who steals, and in this passage, the false teaching, okay, wrong belief, confused Christians, spewing doubt and unbelief, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, what is it they're trying to kill, steal, and destroy? The plans God has for you. The thoughts God has for you. See, because God, did God make anybody come here today? Nope. He came with you, but you chose to come. He didn't make you come here. You chose. Now, our kids that are in the other room, and maybe those here, say, oh, no, it wasn't my choice. My parents made me come. Okay, good. Be submitted to your parents and move on. That's good. We chose to be here. We choose to hear. We choose to listen. We choose to follow. The thief comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy. Whenever there is stealing, killing, and destroying, it is from the enemy. That's his purpose. But what does the next part say? But, does it say I? It doesn't say but, it just says I. I, this is Jesus talking, have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. But do you realize the abundant life that Jesus says, I've come for, we have to choose to actually receive it and walk in it. Because just like God did not make you come here today, he is not going to make you prophesy. He's not going to make you speak in tongues. He's not going to make you lay hands on the sick. He's not going to make you walk on water. He's not going to make you cast out demons. He's not going to make you be a good husband. He's not going to make you be a good wife. He's not going to make you be a good student. He's not going to make you be a good boss. He's not going to make you do anything. But he makes it all available. Because everything God has to bring, everything God created, every good and perfect gift is from above. If God has given it to us or made it available to us and it's good, why aren't we believing it? Why aren't we receiving it? Why aren't we going after it? Simply because we believe that the enemy is bigger than God. We're more concerned about the enemy stealing, killing, and destroying instead of getting up and seeking the Lord and following in his steps. You're like, but that's what we do on Sunday. No, that's what I do on Sunday. Did you guys realize the only difference? Okay, I'll use me. The only difference between Sunday for me and Monday, do you realize the only difference? It's just where I'm at. That's the difference. Not where I am in my heart and mind. It's where my physical body is. Because if you don't know this by now, this should be easy for you. The goal here is that you could say the same. See, whether I'm at this building, or I'm at Safeway, or I'm at City Hall, or I am at my address that I'm not going to say on live TV. If I'm at my home, many of you know where my home is. If you don't, well, then you have to come here and get to know me, and you'll quickly find out where my home is. Do you realize that by the grace of God, the same things are going to come out of my mouth, out of my life, my actions, my love or lack thereof? Okay? Ask my kids. Ask my wife. Well, do you preach like this at home? Sometimes. Well, why don't you? All the time. Well, because it's not the setting. You didn't catch that. See, it's not something I do on Sunday. It's not something I just do on Wednesday. Every day, we get up and we seek the Lord. And we walk with him. And if we'll expect God's goodness, we can walk in his goodness. If we expect his supply, it will be there. See, I came here knowing that there would be at least a few of you here. And guess what? If only four or five shows up, I give the same message. If the room is packed and we have to knock out a wall or build a new building, I give the same message. Because I'm going to do what God has led me to do. Is that making sense? Well, so if I'm at the back seat of Safeway and I'm throwing tortillas, and somebody comes along, guess what they're going to get? By the grace of God, they are going to get what the Father says. Does that make sense? I don't just whip out, oh, glad you're here, and whip out my sermon notes and start preaching to them. No, they're talking, and I'm listening, and I'm also listening to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit may give me a word of wisdom. He may give me a word of knowledge. He may say, hey, this person's hurt in their back and they haven't told anybody. Tell them that I've already healed them. And when I say that, they're going to be like, what? How'd you know? Nobody knew I pulled my back out this morning. Yeah, that's the love of God for you today. And guess what? He sent me here to pray for you. Am I making sense? Do you realize there's no difference between you or I? God is no respecter of person. He'll do to you just like he'll do with me. But we have to learn to seek. We have to learn to put more confidence in the fact that Jesus came to give us life. And abundant life. Eternal life. See, now eternal life is often being confused. Go with me to John 10. Look at verse 27 and 28. Man, time's running away and we're not even close. We're going to have to continue. 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Do you really, 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 really believe that God knows you? So if God knows you, you realize he knows you and he loves you. And guess what? Let's take it one step further. He knows you and he likes you. You know, he's not remembering your sins. You're the one bringing it up. Have you ever considered what is your relationship with God if you don't mention last week's stupid? If you wake up in the morning and you don't mention what you did the night before, even if you're still hungover from it, do you realize as a believer, you don't, the reason you repent is to get it out of your dumb head, to remove the enemy's ability to mess with you. God forgave you of your dumb decision 2,000 years ago. He is not remembering it anymore. So repent, yes, but then move on. Go to the next step. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Well, how can you say I'm going to be glad in it? I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know. My wife is upset with me about this, or the school is doing this, or my job is doing this. Or I mean, we could come up. The enemy will have plenty. Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. So it's at this moment, do I listen to the thief and chase the thief around? See, that's what we end up doing. We chase the thief around the room. But really, according to James, all we got to do is submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But we have to submit to God. And it's just like this. No, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad. God is for me. Who could be against me? Romans 8:38, I believe it is. God is for me. Who cares who's against me? They're the losers. The enemy is lost. Let's move forward. Let's see what God has for me today. He has prepared goodness for me. Will I walk in it? It's as this simple. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of what? Righteousness. And why? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. He wants you to be good. He wants you, he can't make you be good. How many of y'all parents know what I'm talking about now? We all want our kids to be good, but we can't make our kids be good. We can make them, for a certain amount of time, obey 9 out of 10 commandments. But it's that one commandment that we can't even make them do. Right? That one commandment, y'all know what it is? Have no other God before me. See, because I can tie my son or my daughters to the chair, and I can duct tape their eyes shut so they can't look at no evil, duct tape their mouth shut so they can't say no evil, duct tape them to the chair, now they can't do no evil. But in their heart, they can be putting up foreign gods. They can be loving the world. They can set their mind on things below instead of things above. See, we can't make them. God can't make you. He's not going to make you do what's right. But he's made right available for all of us. But we can't draw back. Even when we don't see it happening, we can't draw back. We must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We looked for 4 weeks, we looked at this promise in John 14. And today, let's look at this a little bit more. In John 14, verse 23, he says, I got to figure out where it starts on here because I cut and paste it. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto them. So in the verse before this, he said, how do you plan to reveal yourself to the world or to everybody and not to us and not the whole world? That's it. There you go. He said, how do you plan to do us and not the world? So verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. This is seeking him diligently. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit all said, we're moving in if you'll let us. And when we move in, this is how we can declare, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is why when death, sickness, disease, poverty, anything from the world, anything in a bad sense, anything of negative, when it attacks us, when it comes after us, when it wants to distract us, we can go, no. Greater is he who lives in me than he that is in the world. And I'm a child of the King. Would you take this before God? Would Jesus accept this? Would Jesus accept sickness? Would Jesus accept poverty? Would Jesus accept negative anything? No, Jesus said, get thee behind me. He even told Peter, who's like, oh no, I'm not going to let anybody kill you. Jesus looked him right in the eye and said, Satan, get thee behind me. He was talking to the spirit behind Peter. Peter was being led by the world. Peter wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. See, when we start looking at these promises and we understand, how many of y'all like Joshua in the Bible? Joshua? How many of y'all like Daniel? Daniel's one of my favorites. My favorite scripture is, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32. They that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Dude, I mean, Daniel did some pretty cool stuff, right? Joshua did some cool stuff. All right, do you realize that all those people did really cool stuff and Christ did not live in them? We have a better covenant. We have a better promises. But we've not truly got off our blessed assurance and went, no, God is for me. Who cares who's against me? I will not give in to fear. I will not give in to doubt. I will not give in to unbelief. I will seek God knowing that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You guys know why we have great air conditioning in this room? Because God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you know there's churches all around? There's buildings all around. But we sought the Lord and he gave us this building. And then we continue to be good stewards of what he's given to us. And we put a new air conditioner on it. So it'd work gooder. God's a rewarder. But we got to learn to follow. We got to learn to seek. We got to learn. See, if we're seeking him and we're following him, we're not concerned about what happened yesterday, last week, last month. We won't miss out because God is going to lead us in a path of righteousness. But that's up to us to follow him. It's up to us to decide, no, God is bigger than all this. I'm not against watching a little bit of news. I've had to reel it in and go, all right, I get 5-minute little clips of what's going on, and that's enough. And it's actually, sometimes it's more than enough. Because I can let all of that concern and get into my head, and then when somebody walks up at Safeway, and they want to talk about what's going on in the political world, or what's going on in this country, or what's going on in that country, or what's going on in this state, and what's going on, and I got all the answers, and I can, oh yeah, I heard this, and yeah, oh yeah, yeah. What did we just do? Did I speak life? Did I offer life? Did I offer reward? Did I help them seek the Lord? Did I get a word of wisdom? No, because I'm just meditating on what I already meditated on. I filled my head with all the things of this world, and now I'm regurgitating them. But if I filled my head and my heart with the things of God, and now I'm regurgitating that, guess what? I'm just speaking life. See, the people in the Old Testament did amazing things. They did not have the Spirit of God living in them. Their old man wasn't dead. They still had to fight all the same addictions. What are those other words? Temptations. Do you think any of them had to deal with lust of the flesh? Don't make me name them. Don't make me name the lust of the flesh, but also don't make me. David, awesome man of God, a man after God's own heart. He killed a man and he slept with his wife before he did it. But guess what? He quickly repented and he sought the Lord and he believed. Now, this is the thing. He believed that God would send his son and cover over all the sins of the world. He believed. He put his faith in that someday there's going to be a virgin who gives birth to a child who come directly from the Holy Spirit, who will walk on the planet, who will not sin, and who will give his life as a sacrifice because David got caught up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, had an affair, and killed a man. That's why Jesus came. Oh, wait. I thought he came for my sin. He did. But do you realize he would have come for just David's if David was the only one that ever sinned? And David believed that back there, that someday it's going to happen out here. We need to be able to go, wait, Jesus already forgave me. Thank you, Father. You've forgiven me. I repent of that. I shouldn't have done that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for cleansing my heart and my mind. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have not left me. You have not forsaken me, that I am yours. And this is the day you have made. And I will rejoice and I will seek your face and I will walk in the goodness of God. I will believe for the goodness of God in the land of the living. Do you realize that's an Old Testament promise as well? David said, and I believe it's Psalm 27, I believe it's about verse 13, that I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And do you realize David never saw the cross? He never saw the crucifixion in the sense that he wasn't there physically. He died way before. But he put his faith in that. I'm going to make it sense. See, when you get up in the morning, where will you put your faith? When you leave here, where will you put your faith? Will you draw back? Because Jesus said, the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is and must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do we believe that? Have we grown from just knowing that Jesus forgave you of all your sins? Yes, God forgave you of all your sins. He would like to walk with you, talk with you, and he wants you to be the best at what he planned. So that when you go for those promises, like what is the one we like to tell people all the time? For such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. Well, what does that look like? Do you really believe that you were born for such a time as this? Do you not understand the blessings of God all around us? Dude, we have indoor bathrooms. Yeah. We have the written word of God. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But if we don't believe, we won't receive. If we doubt, we will go without. So what will you believe this next week? What will you believe and what will you receive? Will you believe that the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and you'll receive all that? Or will you believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and will you receive that? That's up to us. We get this choice all the time. All the time. And just like that song we sang, if I fall down, I get back up. If I fall down, I get back up. You know, I'm excited. We've walked with many of you for many years. Many years. And you guys know, I've not always done it right. You've not always done it right. But we're not going to draw back. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. I'm in the red. Thank you, Jesus. Because I still want to share with you what that still small voice said. Listen, and I know this was for me. I don't know if it was for you yet. That's why I hesitate right here. Because I asked the Lord, I almost stopped the service. That's how clear this was. But I believe the Lord was asking me a very, very precise question. So I'm going to leave it on me. And then you could say, Lord, if that was for me, I need to know. Can you confirm it? Does that make sense? Because I know what he said to me. And at this point, I can't with full confidence say that all of you need to follow suit. It makes sense that it would follow suit because it was the word of the Lord. I saw right here, it was like God was standing right here and he looked at me and he said, will you make room in your heart to love another people? And he was speaking what my brother and I spoke of and what I shared with you earlier. We've got a people that Caesar and I went down and met with in Mexico. Will I let the Lord put the love of God in me for that people? See, because if I'll let him put that love in me for them, then he'll use me to minister to them. But he will only, if I let him put that love in there. You go, well, that doesn't make sense, Pastor. Well, think about this. Who do you love? Who do you sacrifice for? See, there's going to be sacrifice involved. There's always sacrifice involved if we're going to love somebody. See, and we could keep it real simple. If I take $20 out of my wallet and send it to Mexico, there's sacrifice. It's $20. That's not much sacrifice, I know. But if I don't have $20, it's even bigger sacrifice. To the one that has 40 bucks, it's a pretty big sacrifice. But notice what the Father asked me. Will you let me put the love of God in you for another people? Will you let the love of God fill you for others? See, some of those others are sitting in this room. Some of the others are sitting in this room. But we choose to let people in our hearts, in our lives. And I'll be the first to admit, see, let me put it this way. And I know I've gone over a little bit, but ministry would be easy if it wasn't for people. It'd be easy, man. The TV evangelist thing, they got it going on. They don't have to see them. They don't have to listen to them. They don't have to deal with them. But when you got to wake up every day and walk it out, because I don't know about y'all, but I make mistakes. You guys make mistakes. If you don't know, I'll tell you. Okay? But the point is, if I've let God put his love for you in me, that's the love that can flow through. If it's just my love, we're in trouble. But if it's the love of God that's been poured into my heart, see, that's why I can come here no matter what the sacrifice. That's why I can stand here whether there's 4 or 144 or 4,000. I could see myself standing in an arena and 50,000 people around me. And you know what my biggest fear is? That I'll only say what the Father tells me to say. But guess what? That's the same thing I have right here. Because I know the words that I say are either life or death. And if I'll listen, he'll tell me what to say. What you do with it is up to you. And if I had 50,000 people, guess what? That's just 4,900 plus more that get to make that choice. And whether or not they receive it, whether or not they receive the love of God or not, not up to me, it's up to them. So will you let others receive the love of God that you have? That's the question. Will you receive the love of God from God for others so that when that flows, it flows as love, not anything else? See, it's easy for me to say, well, God loves the whole world. Yes, and he loves you. You're part of it. And he likes you. Let's stand. I want to pray. You guys get to pray with me. I don't always share those things. I don't know what all this means yet, but I know what I heard. And now I have to respond. See, it's easy to say, well, yeah, Lord, absolutely. So, If that's the case, will you let God fill your heart with the love of God for others? For others. For others. Not just for you, but others. Starting with Jerusalem, Judea, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. See, if we're not willing to love those right here in this room, it's hard to love somebody else. It's easy in the sense they're a long ways away, but the sacrifices won't come. I mean, right here, these boxes, small sacrifices, unless you want to make it a bigger sacrifice because of the love of God he's put in your heart. You'll write a bigger check, or you'll go and do this, or you'll go and you'll do whatever it takes because of the love of God in your heart. So what are you willing to do with those around you? Will you love them? Will you be available for the love that God has put in your heart to flow to others? It starts right here with this group. Some of you that are online watching, maybe you couldn't be here today in person. Who are you with right now? What's keeping you from being right here so that we can love one another? As Christ loves us. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our heart. I thank you that you have poured out your Spirit upon all flesh. And I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice will receive the Holy Spirit, will receive the anointing of God, we'll receive the presence of God. We'll receive all that you have for us, Lord. You are faithful. You are true. And Lord, we are going to seek you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our life. We thank you for your grace, and we speak grace, grace to those around us. We like Jesus. Even more. We, like the Father, choose right now to remember your sins no more. Can you remember no more of what somebody's done against you? If they've offended you, they've hurt you, can you choose to remember it no more? Can you forgive them to the point? Trust is a whole nother level. Right now, I need you to forgive them. Forgive them. They did you wrong. Forgive them. We can talk about trust and work on trust issues, maybe in a private setting, because usually they've broken trust. that takes time to establish trust. But it can be done. It can be done. There's boundaries, things like that. I get that. But we got to forgive them, no matter what they've done. We have to forgive them. Because God did. And we're told, even as Christ forgave us, forgive one another as Christ forgave you. Is there anything Christ didn't forgive you of? There's nothing. But does he trust you with everything? There's a reason. Trust has to be built. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I speak mercy into the hearts and lives. Ask for mercy. Receive mercy. Mercy is you not getting what you deserved. That's mercy. You may deserve a kick in the rump. Mercy is you not getting the kick in the rump. Does that make sense? I'm trying to keep it simple. So ask for mercy and then receive that mercy. Because God's already forgiven you. He's already forgiven you and he's not holding it against you. But you're going to need to forgive yourself for messing up. Otherwise, the enemy keeps bringing it back. He keeps circling it back. Well, remember this? Remember then? Remember then? Well, that's a conversation you and him are having. You need to quit talking to him. Because God's not bringing it up. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hug somebody. Love on them. Encourage them. Find a way to bless somebody. Hey, Robin, thank you.